My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You know how a good idea after you've had a few? Yeah, that's this show.
Riding in my car. And I'm listening to the radio.
It's time for Dukes and Bell.
Oh, someone told me it's the Black Beverly Hills. Is that true?
Driving in Atlanta just got a whole lot more bearable.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Hi, everybody. Carl Dukes and Mike Bell. The names that mean goodness.
Say my name, you know who I am.
Carl Dukes.
I drink and I know things.
Oh, don't question my authority, thanks.
King Kong ain't got on me.
Sometimes you just got to call somebody, and I'm not ashamed to say it. You know,
And Mike Bell.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you.
Hope you guess my name.
Bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes till somebody passes out, and then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
Get ready for the best 5 hours of your life.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is Dukes and Bell.
Brought to you by Finley Roofing. We've got you covered. Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer.
You know what? Why don't we start doing the stuff that other guys have done on other radio shows around the country?
No.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta. Band's back together. Carl's back from vacay. And he's ready to rock and roll. We start every hour of every day with a big hearty, Hey, man! How you feeling, big man?
I feel like I've been through a war, Mike Bell. You know, over the weekend, had a great weekend, and I'll tell you more about it, but yesterday started the process of the colonoscopy, which I had today, and that meant literally that Saturday night, I had my last meal, right? Because you can't eat all day the day before. It's a liquid diet, for those of you who don't know. So it's clear liquids, and it's not like you're drinking whatever you want. So with that said, yesterday I think I had 2 cups of broth and liquids all day. And on top of that, Mike, you know, they make you drink that. You know this. They make you drink that stuff.
Flushes out the system.
Oh, my goodness. And so it was a war. It was literally a war last night. And Michelle was making so much fun of me because she kept saying, you've got to go again. And I was like, shut up. So I am literally, and I said this to Mike Conti, I feel drained just from like an electrolyte standpoint.
Right.
I'm not sore or anything like that. I don't want to freak people out who need to get colonoscopies. You got to get it and make sure you take care of your health. But I just feel like, whoa. So, yeah, man, with that said, though, I'm here, and we do have a lot to talk about, Mike. What in the hell are we doing?
Yeah, I was talking about this on Friday. The news broke with about 20 minutes left at our show at Twin Peaks with Chris in for you. And, you know, look, yes, I get it, and you brought this up last week. It's really hard to make a trade, to make the numbers work. But I just thought, that, you know, there was maybe, call me naive, that we could use a trade exception and maybe try to bring someone that you'd know, like Brandon Ingram, in. And so it wouldn't be just simply getting the trying to recoup the pick for DeJounte, but they get 2 of the 3 picks back. But they get guys back that, I mean, you know, Nance Jr. is nothing special. And Dyson Daniels is some would say, is a bust first-round pick because he doesn't score. He'd be a nice defensive piece. The only people that are happy are the Trae Young loyalists who realize that Trae is not going to go anywhere and he'll be here.
We didn't get better, guys. We didn't get better in this deal. What you did was you moved on from something that didn't work and you were trying to fix your mistake. We did not achieve what the goal is. And that is when you make a trade, more times than not, right, you're trying to get better. Okay? When you look at the deals that have been done, free agency, the deals that have been done, those teams right now are trying to improve. And all we did was say, oh, we screwed up. And we got to move on from this mistake. And so let's trade him. We at least get 2 first-round picks in return. I'm still curious how they're going to potentially, you know, maneuver that and turn that maybe into something. But if you're going to tell me that we're better today than we were 3 days ago without DeJounte Murray, we know Sadiq Bey's not coming back. AJ Griffin's traded. I don't feel that way. And here's the thing, if you're Trae, and here's to me is the bigger thing. Are we wasting his prime?
Yep.
Are we wasting his prime? For those true loyalists and Hawks fans who say, hey, Trae's the dude, we know what he can do in the playoffs. Mike, we get it. We got to get some guys that can play with him. Are we wasting his prime? Because right now, look around the league. The Knicks improved. The 76ers today improved. Start looking around, man, and saying, who are we better than in the Eastern Conference right now? And I got to tell you, I don't feel like we're better than a 7th or 8th seed where we've been the last 3 or 4 years.
No, and that's where we're at. And that was my opinion when I was talking with a couple of folks. You wasted 2 years with Trae. Look, there's no other way around it. You brought DeJounte Murray in, and it accomplished nothing by any metric, by any measuring stick. You did nothing. You didn't get better. You lost some future draft pick equity, and you found that, and this is something that we talked about from the jump, if Trae was ever going to move without the ball, he never did. They never worked in the half court. DeJounte was a better defender, and he's a good player. And 22, he made the All-Star team. But this team went backwards. So it's in some cases, Carl, yes, it's a zero-sum argument. You got accomplished nothing by getting DeJounte Murray, other than, to your point, you wasted 2 years of Trae's prime.
Yeah, and you know, if you're telling me, well, you know what, you're asking your star, all right, who, by the way, can opt out, for those of you who don't know, in just a couple of seasons, and potentially make $70 million a season, which is what he's going to do because it's what the league is. You're asking him to be patient. You're asking him to just cope with this and deal with the situation, and we're going to get you back. Guess what you're asking him to do? In meantime, he's seeing all these other guys around the league, and Mike, you've discussed this. His brand, his star power is shrinking, not because Trae's not any good, but because the team is not any good. The team hasn't achieved their ultimate goals of getting deep into the playoffs again and making these runs and being a force in the league. All of a sudden now, I think there's a shift. Call me crazy. I love what the Knicks did, man. The Knicks now can defend the Celtics on the perimeter and say, let's go play. And I think they're tougher. I said this. If they were all healthy this year, I thought they would have gave the Celtics a run. But now you're telling me that we add, no disrespect, Dyson Daniels, who's 21 years old. Yes, he's bigger than DeJounte. Yes, he has upside. But speaking of doing nothing, yeah, he's done nothing.
I mean, look, guys, unless he's going to be like the glove, Gary Payton, without the offense, I mean, look, we know we want to get better defensively, and by definition, you've gotten better defensively with him because he is a decent defender but doesn't score. So, you know, that's an issue right there. Well, again, now, you got to hope as a Hawks fan there's more moves to come.
Correct.
But this gets us back to something we've been talking about all month. Spend some money. I mean, look, you see Paul George go to the Sixers. You know, Hartenstein, that's a guy I really like for us. If we were going to maybe.
OKC got better,
yeah,
Mike.
OKC, who's got money to spend and drafted impeccably, now adds a really big rim defender that the Knicks, just by virtue of how much money they spent, just weren't able to keep. So the Thunder grab him. You know, I see other teams. Like, for instance, we're still, you look at the Sixers now with Paul George. I know they lost, who they lose? They lost Tobias Harris. He signed with
Detroit.
In Motown. But, yeah, you still look at them. We're looking up at them. We're looking up at the Magic. We're looking up at the Pacers. You know, so it's just it's very exasperating. I want to believe, we talked about this with Steve Kuhn. I kind of did like a mini rant on Friday about 5 o'clock, just from a fan standpoint. As a fan, you want to have some faith that the ownership is really going to put some faith and give me some reason to put my faith in this organization. You're going to spend some money and try to improve the quality of the team.
How did he respond to that?
He was just, you know, Steve. Some of this stuff is beyond Steve's pay grade. We love our conversations with Steve, but it's just, you know, it's not his decision. This is ultimately from Wrestler. Yeah. Steve can't convince these guys to get into the luxury tax. I mean, if we're going to try to grind, if we're not running it back because, as you said, DeJounte's gone, but we need to replace his scoring.
Correct.
You know, now hopefully Trey can stay 100% and Jalen Johnson can stay healthy. And but all these are ifs. And if DeAndre Hunter doesn't suck, you know, all these things add to me, Carl, to being right back somewhere to 8 to 10 seed.
Yeah. And here's why I say we haven't gotten better for Hawks fans who are like, man, I don't know what you're talking about. The key to Trey Young's success was and continues to be to surround him with shooters, surround him with guys that can knock down shots. He can create. He'll give you 15 assists on any given night if you can knock down shots. But they haven't done that. What they thought was going to work was we'll get another ball creator who, on the ball, right, with the ball in his hands, can do the things that Trae Young can do. And I said this, DeJounte and Trae were the same player. Technically, they do the same things. But for Trae to have real success, that's what this team's got to do, Mike. And I say this, and it's not going to happen, but if you added Klay Thompson, right? We talked about this last week. Hypothetically, you go add a shooter of that elk. Now you're improving your chances with Bogey and what you have with Double O and Jalen Johnson's development. But you've got to get that kind of proven scorer who can knock down shots with Trae doing his things. And guess what? He still plays good enough, and I'm using him as an example, guys, that if they double-team Trae, he can still create. That's what the Splash Brothers were about.
Right.
That is why it worked. It doesn't work when both guys have to absolutely every time down the floor have the ball in their hands.
So now we're waiting to see what we're going to do. You believe Sadiq Bey is gone?
Yes, he is.
Yeah, I mean, so what are we going to do? I mean, we brought back Gary Bird. I saw Matthews got signed, so that's a fan favorite, part of that like G League thing that was cobbled together when Trae was injured.
And here's the deal. Garrison Matthews can shoot. You know, that's that whole right. Gary Bird thing. But is he an elite shooter? Can he be a 40%, 38% three-point shooter? Maybe. I don't know.
Well, I can tell you one thing, he is inexpensive.
True. And that's true.
And that's what we're looking for. So, yeah, it just seems like, and you and I did the math a few weeks ago, the teams that are really rolling, there's a moment when you go all in. I get it. You're not going to just spend cap money just for the sake of spending cap money. But I color me just a doofus that I thought perhaps there was some way we could get a name in here, use that exception, what was left of it from the trade for John Collins. But we didn't, and we're not. It doesn't look like. We still have a few days left before that expires.
The summer of Landry, which it is, because this is how we judge Landry Fields now, right? All that stuff about that Slink's dude and Slink put this together, and that's gone. This is all Landry Fields now. And whatever this turns out to be in the season, and as a fan, Mike, all I want to do is be competitive. I want to be interesting. Can we be fun? I don't know if we've achieved that yet. And again, it's not over, but as free agency, and just like with the NFL, guys, and you know how much we talk about this on this show, day one is a big day. It's why the Cousins thing was such a big story. Mm. Because you are saying we are going to do something significant. And when you're not in day one, doesn't mean that you don't get better, but you just don't make the splash. You don't make the noise. And for the Hawks right now, Mike, that's part of this storyline. They got to make some noise, man. We got to make some splash.
Bingo.
We haven't done that.
No.
And that's how you get people reconnected and reinterested to this team. The DeJounte move for a second, and I said this when it happened, people went, oh, it's a great move. Hardcore basketball fans, most of you didn't know who the hell DeJounte Murray was coming from the Spurs.
Right.
So until you do some of that, this is still an incomplete for me when we talk about how this offseason is playing out.
Exactamundo. Other moves being made. Harden's going to stay with the Clippers. We saw that. We talked about George coming to the Sixers. Chris Paul is going to play in San Antonio as Reed Sheppard develops, so Chris Paul can perhaps help him or not down there in San Antonio. But as you said, you see everybody else making moves. We talked about Hartenstein going to Oklahoma City, who's in a great position because they've got cap flexibility. We're just basically trying to get under the luxury tax. There's aprons, as we talked about, this whole new terminology, which I think NBA fans are getting used to. It just seems like we're going to run it back and just basically, this, to me, this equals, Carl, unless we can pull something off to get some scoring. I mean, are we going to, by the way, is Clint Capella going to be on this roster by this time next week?
Oh, that's a great question.
I
keep looking at this, and I mean, and by the way, I don't want to discount Risha Sher.
He's going to take time to develop.
Correct. I don't want to discount that you're adding him. I get that. And people are saying you're forgetting about the kid can shoot. You said it, the kid.
Yes.
He can shoot.
But you can't depend on him.
No.
Look, if he can give you 13 or something, I mean, yes, that's great. But still, I mean, it's a work in progress. I hate that we lost. I know while you were gone. We'll talk more about this later. But A.J. Griffin, you basically send a mid-round first pick for what turned into a 43rd pick. I know it got off the rails with him, Carl, but a lot of stuff which kind of left me confused about the roster and what it's supposed to be the last few months.
No doubt, man. We want to hear from you guys. 404-726-0929. Because, again, as Mike said, this happened literally late in the show. Mike, he called me, and we was like, dude, you're not going to believe this because I was out. And I was like, what do we get?
Yeah.
How do you guys feel about it?
Hey, man, we will open up the phone lines and get your opinions here in a bit. First, though, we're going to talk about the headlines because the Braves did take 2 out of 3 from the Pirates, Carl. But that Schwellenbach guy, when he starts, they don't win.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
A lot of folks passionate about the Hawks. A lot of folks want to be more passionate about the Hawks. If you just give them something to be more passionate about. I was talking to a listener, Carl, who hit me up and he goes, hey, man, Matthews is a great shooter. Yeah, I'm sure he is. He's played great when he got a chance to get in there. I was interested in somebody like Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. You know, I want a guy who's pretty good defender and, you know, athletic and, you know, just a few names. But again, we can do it on a budget. There's more than one way to skin a cat. Hopefully we'll get better and there's more moves. This hour of Dukes and Bell is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. Carl convalescing after the big day today. Actually, did you remember anything of the procedure? They just basically knock you out, right? You're gone.
Yeah. No, listen, propofol is what they use, by the way. And for those who don't remember, I had this discussion with my doctor, Dr. Riddick, thank you, by the way, and his staff did a great job today. But literally when I woke up, I was like, that's the stuff Michael Jackson used, isn't it? And he was like, yes, unfortunately, supervised, but yeah. Mike, literally, yeah, she said, you're going to feel a little something warm, because I had an IV in, and she said, and then, and I was gone.
Yeah, they gave me some gas and a count back from one. And then they had to use like an elephant gun on me when I had my colonoscopy. And then it took a while for me to come to. And by that point, my wife was completely embarrassed and didn't want to be anywhere near me in the recovery room.
I got to be honest, man. I thought, and this is going to sound crazy, but like, you know, as you're going and you're learning about the process, right? And I'm not going to get too descriptive about it, but you can have an idea. Yeah. They're going into your colon and make sure, you know, and check for cancer, basically, and, right. and things.
Stuff that shouldn't be there.
Correct. Might be growing. So my fear was, and I kept saying this to Michelle, I was like, you know what? What if I poop or something? Like, I'm being silly, right? And she's like, would you say, you're going to be empty. I'm like, no, I'm not. And then I was completely empty, Mike. I was unbelievably empty. Like, to the point where my stomach was like, what's going on? I don't understand this. Why are we not eating? So all those fears and little stupid things you have in your head, you know, because you're like, it went great. So, no, right. the staff was great. Doc was great. But, yeah, we had that discussion afterwards because that stuff knocks you out. And then literally you just, you know, you come out of it. And I was like, I felt great out of it.
And again, guys, we've talked about this before, especially for African-American men, all the guys that are listening. Don't be Mr. Macho out there. The colonoscopy, as we said, you got to get it done, especially for guys. Some guys over 45. I know I got a high cancer risk in my family, so get on it.
Well, that's the other thing, too. If you do have that in your family, get on it. Thank
so
you.
So there's a public service message from Dukes and Bell. And now it's time to hit the headlines.
Strap in, youngins.
Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
Headlines brought to you by ATL. Live well. Don't just live. Live well. Man, the Braves, they took 2 out of 3. It was pretty electric. Max Fried against Skeens on Saturday, but take 2 out of 3 from the Pirates. Unfortunately, still 8 back from Philadelphia, Carl, in the NL East. Here's Snicker saying the frustrating part is just can't get the offense, you know, every day together.
Feeling good about today and you know, didn't happen. I'm come out here Tuesday and get her going again. Yeah, that's the frustrating part because you know what the guys are capable of and just can't quite put it together for an extended period where it just flows. You know, that's the hard part.
Yeah, man, that was a bit frustrating yesterday because, you know, the Pirates, look, they've got a nice young pitching staff, and there's so many impressive players. You just feel bad for Pirates fans, Carlos. You know they're not going to be able to keep them together for more than 3 or 4 years. But that's a ball club that's on the way up.
Skeens is special, man. I mean, you see it. We saw it with our guy, right, and Spencer Strider, where you just go, ooh, like there's something different about him. He gave up 1 run in 6 innings. You know, the Kelnick home run. Hi, right. Turtle. Kelnick home run to open the game. You know, you go, all right, he got to him. But that was Saturday. And to your point about Sunday, like the 4-2 loss, they had a 4-run fifth inning. I just, to Snit's point, like I do feel better about the team. But there is still something like it's not full steam ahead yet. You know what I mean? I mean, I still don't feel like we played our best baseball, Mike. Like, we haven't hit our stride like maybe the Phillies where you just get a sense, hey, they're rolling like we were last year. They're going to be a tough out. I don't know if we've gotten to that point. There have been great outings by Fried or Morton, who gave up 3 hits and 6 1/3 on Friday. Mm-hmm. There have been Ozuna, who's balling and drove in 3 on Friday. You know, he continues to do what he does. But, like, I'm looking at the numbers just this morning, and I'm going to myself, wait a minute. Riley has 9 home runs?
Right.
Austin Riley?
Yeah, man. At one point, it was just 3 before he went on that tear a few weeks ago against the Yankees. You think about just, you know, this team. It just sort of feels like 1 step forward, 2 steps back.
Yes.
One thing is working. You know, top of the lineup, Kelnick is definitely providing.
Did you say Kelnick?
I said Kelnick. Here's what it sounded like when he took Skeens deep.
Kelnick turns on this and sends it to the chop house. Greeting Paul Skeens pretty rudely. It's 1-0 Atlanta.
Yeah, man, 100-mile-an-hour stuff went out like more than 100 miles out there to right field. But the problem was yesterday, Carl, Schwellenbach, and I mentioned this to Andy Bende on the handoff, the Braves in the 6 games that Schwellenbach's pitched, they're 1-5. So, you know, whether it's 6-man or 5th-and-a-half-man, it just doesn't fly. Here's Snicker talking about Schwellenbach, and he's still learning on the job.
You know, he's learning on the job is what he's doing. And he's a bright kid and good feel and good baseball sense and it'll serve him well going forward. It's hard right now when you go through it, but it'll be, you know, he'll learn from it and get better by it.
So now we're taking on the Giants, and then it'll be the Phillies, and that'll be huge coming around after the 4th of July weekend. It's going to be a big one. One thing was for certain, I mentioned those young stars and the Pirates. We've seen O'Neill Cruz hit some tape measure shots. He's hit them into the river up there in Pittsburgh. That dude is something, man. He hit a moonshot over the chop house.
Yeah, to your point about some of the things that they own or at least possess right now, you wonder if they'll be able to continue to you know, have those guys around for the long haul. It's what happened with the Orioles, right? They drafted well. All of a sudden the Orioles got good, and obviously they got new management or new ownership, and that helps. But I look at the Pirates that way, Mike. They've done a really good job. They've built some pieces. The thing is, can they continue to do that and have those guys? But, yeah, man, he's a dude, too. They probably have about three dudes that we need to continue to watch and are going to continue to develop over the next few years.
And like you said, if you're a Pirates fan, you just hope you can maybe sniff the wild card this year before it all does fall apart on you. Zachary Risache, we spoke with him on Thursday. Then he was over at the Emory training facility making the rounds.
Let me ask you, what'd you think? What'd you think?
He's a likable kid. You know, he's working on his English. But he talked about his work ethic, talked about loving Kevin Durant as a kid. Mm. You know, Chris and I had a nice conversation with them Thursdays. We're getting ready for the America match with the Panama that day down there at Hudson Grill. But yeah, man, he knows he's got some things he's got to work on, but also he takes pride in his defense, which I thought was interesting. He takes pride in continuing to work on his jump shooting. So, you know, and here's a soundbite from when he was talking to the media at Hawks, saying doesn't feel the pressure of being that top pick.
I feel like there is no pressure. I just realize my dream, and I just focus on the good stuff, you know, on the right stuff, which is playing here. I'm just excited to be a Hawks right now, and I want to compete and win games. So that's all that's all that matters right now.
So you got a guy, Carl. Again, if he continues to improve with shooting, you get to see what he can do. July 12th in Las Vegas Summer League. Ironically, they'll be taking on Alex Saar, somebody in his group didn't want to be here, but taking on the Wizards, Carl, out in Vegas in summer.
Yeah, and I can't wait. I mean, listen, I know it's summer league, but you're still out there trying to prove yourself and trying to, you know, show people what you've got. It's funny because, you know, Dirk really beget Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant hopefully begets a guy like Risache. I think, Mike, big guys at 6'9", 6'10", now, they aspire to do the things that Kevin Durant can do. And by the way, you're not blocking his shot. He's one of the best shooters of all time. Like, if you can be that or become close to that, then we got the right guy. But Ben Hill Trill tweeted at us at Mike Bell ATL and put him up C Dukes and basically was talking about, you know, our conversation to start the show. And he says, I don't care about splash. This team is more balanced. Here's what I care about. You need guys that can make plays. And then he goes into this whole rant about how good Daniels is defensively. I've heard this before. I need to see it, okay? Mm-hmm. I don't want to hear about what these guys – he's 21. If he's locked down and you said if he's Gary Payton, then so be it. I'll get on board. But I've heard this before. We said this about DeJounte when he got here.
Right.
The defense didn't get any better. So Ben, Hill, Trill, it's about playmakers. And when I say splash, the rest of the country is wondering what the hell we're doing. That's why you need splash. It doesn't matter to us. We're going to watch the team regardless. Mm. But everybody else around the country is like, eh.
Yeah.
Eh.
I mean, they didn't trust him to have him on the floor against Oklahoma City. He averaged about 26 minutes this season. He's had some steals. Averaged 1.4 the last month of the season. So, I mean, this cat, I told him, I don't know if it's a burner account for Wrestler's Kid or something, but, yeah, he's seen the brilliance in Landry Fields' moves. Speaking of Landry Fields, what are you looking for in free agency there, GM?
You know, address some of it in the draft, like size and some defensive stuff that we wanted to shore up, and always, always welcome shooting to the group. So defense and shooting will work well here.
And then, Carl, I talked about A.J. Griffin. I thought the first year here he had some stuff, and then it just seemed like it went off the rails for him, either off the court or whatever the disconnect was with Quinn Snyder.
Yeah, he went to the G League after he got hurt. They were rehabbing him, basically. He got a couple of starts. Actually, Mike, he was playing well there. And then, remember, I think he sprained an ankle or something. He got hurt in the G League. Mm. And then once he made his way back to the Hawks late in the season, he wasn't getting any, we call it, burn. He wasn't getting any run.
No.
He wasn't getting any minutes. And then, you know, when it got down to the end of the season where, you know, you're playing basically, you know, you're seeding, you're putting him in there. I just felt like whatever happened internally, he was done way, way long time ago.
And here is Landry Fields on just whatever happened and making the move with AJ.
Yeah, it wasn't an easy decision. AJ's a good player. I think it's just our evaluation over the past year and projecting out into the future. We had to make a tough decision. Through the draft process, we learned more and more about guys. And, you know, with Nikola, we felt like this is a nice player and just able to kind of shift into a different type. You know, worked out well for us, and I know talking with AJ and his agency after that, like they were happy too. Like,
yeah, there you go. So he goes to a better place, Carl, Houston, with Ime Udoka, which actually is a better place.
Well, listen, and they're on the come. I mean, that's a team that is coming up. I do agree with that. I mean, he'll get a better opportunity there, and I wish him nothing but the best. But that's the crazy thing. We keep talking about shooting and needing shooting. You drafted a kid that can shoot, and then you didn't play him. Like, this is part of it. And whether it was Quinn Snyder or something else that was going on, it's still about results, Mike. And at the end of the day, we didn't get the results from A.J. Griffin that we thought we would get. So now, as we start to make these moves with Landry Fields and Quinn Snyder is telling us, hey, this is how I'm going to mold this team, now this stuff starts to really fall on their shoulders. I couldn't blame Quinn Snyder for coming in here for 20 games, but after a season plus 20 games and now going into another season and you're rebuilding this team in the way that you want, and you're molding it the way that you want, now all of this is on you.
One last headline for you, Carl, before we catch a break, and I'll set up the phones for our conversation with our audience about the Hawks. Unbelievable finish to Atlanta United's win over Toronto. It was 1-1. Looked like the Toronto goalkeeper was like, all right, take your time, everybody run down there. I'm just going to put the ball in. Wait a minute, what happened? Here's what it sounded like on 92.9 The Game.
TRA couldn't get to it. The defender, who was draped all over him, got a touch.
Here's a steal off TRA. He will turn to jump score. He scores!
He literally sneaks behind the goalkeeper, takes a drink of water. Goalkeeper is totally oblivious. Nobody, I watched the video twice, Carl. Only one Toronto player is pointing, and the goalkeeper doesn't see it quick enough. And literally, the okie doke to win the game.
One of already up for the play of the year. I mean, seriously. Like, that was brilliant. And then the execution, Mike. It's one thing to lay it down, he still had to make the goal. Crazy.
Man, so the good news is they may eventually finally get moving with Almada. There's still no confirmation from the team. A lot of guys around the world reporting $21 million would be the transfer, be more than what we got from Miggy to Newcastle. They also signed a dude named Pedro Amador, Portuguese defender. More on that later in the show. Next, talk about the Hawks, guys. 404-726-0929. What do you think so far? Are you impressed? Do you say, hey, that's the best we could get for DeJounte? You made a mistake, move on, and let's just get on with our lives. 404-726-0929. Let's talk Hawks next. Dukes and Bell, man. Carl's back from vacay. Hope everybody's got a great plan for the 4th of July. I did notice less cars in the parking garage today, Carl, so I think some folks have already hit the road or skedaddled down to Destin or up to the lake. Yeah. This hour of the show, guys, brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. Speaking of the lake, we're going to be up at the lake next week. We got a really cool show planned involving our summer games. More details. You may have heard the promos on that, and a chance to get the audience involved, Carl. She'll be blessed. It's going to be happening during our show.
Yeah, I am curious to see what the teams look like and how this is all going to shake out. We're going to be telling you a lot more about it. But, yeah, man, it's going to be pretty cool. And there's no better time to be at the lake than right now. It's super hot outside, bro.
Indeed. Hey, man, we're talking a lot about the Hawks. The good news is, as a couple of listeners have pointed out, if you liked, Kenny Bird, right? Was that the guy? What were we calling him?
Gary Bird.
Sorry, I called him Kenny Bird. But yeah. If you like Gary Matthews, he was hitting threes when Trey went out. And that's something he'll get to do a lot more of because, well, Carl, the offense has to come from somewhere. But a guy who bounced around and got some traction with us last season will certainly get more time. But now I think a lot of folks are waiting to see. We already talked about, will Capella come off the roster? Will you trade him for an expiring contract? Or will you simply just drop him? And then what's going to happen there? I think they've got some decisions about Bruno Fernando. They extended the deadline on that decision, did the Hawks. But right now we're just trying to see, you know, I'd like to see us get bigger. We're one of the smaller teams in the NBA.
So before we grab these calls, Mike, I just want to – this breaking news about Klay Thompson joining the Mavericks. It's a 3-year, $50 million deal. And I just want to tell Hawks fans, this is what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Luka now has another championship-caliber, big-shot guy that he can rely on. The Mavs just got better. And when we talk about these teams in the Western Conference, right, and we talk about Denver and the T-Wolves, and by the way, it's going to be a dogfight now. This is going to be a dogfight. But in the West, you add Klay to what you already saw this year. Part of getting there this year was, listen, nobody expected they were fifth seed, Mike. But you're telling me now you got Klay Thompson posting up in the corner for threes with Luka being able to get to the basket like he can and Kyrie, that's a problem.
Well, that's why I brought him up when we were kicking around some ideas last week. I said, go get Hartenstein from the Knicks. Go get Klay Thompson. He'd be a splash uncle, as one of our audience said on Twitter, which I thought was great. But remember, now that DeJounte's off the roster, you realize Klay would be the second highest scorer on this team.
Yes.
Behind Trey. And I know that he's getting up there, but he still played a lot of games last year, and he still has some offensive punch, something we're needing. And the defense is self-explanatory that Carl just talked about. But that's not something we're doing. We're going to kind of be ballers on a budget.
Well, this is the thing. So the Mavs right now, again, Cuban and company, and their staff realizes we're close. We were right there. They're not joking around. They don't give a damn about the luxury tax, Mike. They don't care about apron one or apron two.
Right.
This is what we're doing. Now, the whole apron thing, you got to take in as much money as you take out. It's a sign and trade deal for him. Klay takes less money. But at the end of the day, this is $25 million for the next, you know, basically 2 years for him, with the player option for the second, for the third year. This is a great deal for him. So he's getting 25 for the next 2 years on a championship caliber team, and the Mavs are not afraid to go after it. We're just not there.
Nope. Mike Russo just hit us up on Twitter, says, from what I've seen, we've drafted four NBA starters the last 10 years. He said two of them, Collins and Herter, are gone. We got Trey and Jalen left. Well, that's it's not a not, no lie is told right there. We got a bunch of guys that are on hold that want to talk about the Hawks. Again, it's a work in progress. We're not privy to what else is coming down the road just yet, but so far it's been, to a degree, a little bit underwhelming. Let's go with Big James. Big James, you're up first. Hey, man, you're on Dukes and Bell.
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Hey, man, look, I think as much as we do need to get big, like Mike said, I think we need some star power, some talent. And the Bulls is trying to get rid of LaVine. I think we should take a run at LaVine, throw some picks, DeAndre Hunter, Clint Capella, and get some star power to go with Trey, because we ain't gonna, where the buckets going to come from, man? I really don't know.
That's a great question. And here's the other thing. DeMar DeRozan, right, is out there. He is a free agent, and he's another guy that's going to be on the move. That if you talk about can he score, DeMar DeRozan can still score. Now he's 34. I hear you,
right.
but if you're just saying, hey, I need a guy to go get buckets, he can still do that. So it's a great question from Frank, man. When you talk about where the scoring is going to come from.
LaVine, I'm looking at him. He is just outside the top 50 as far as defensive ratings. That's why I was talking about Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. He actually was 36th best defensive player based on defending against the other team's best opponents. That's one of those names I was mentioning. Where he signed with Magic, did KCP. Let's go back, more phones, talking about our Hawks.
And by the way, Mike, they're on the come.
They're Magic better than us,
man.
Yes. They went and got Banchero, and there was no Banchero in this draft for us, so we're hoping that Risache develops into something. But didn't Banchero get traction quick?
Yes. Quickly. You right. already know, very similar to Ant-Man, he's going to be a dude. He's a guy that you can build around. And the Magic, they're, that's a good move for them.
Right. Remember, from literally looking like the Washington Generals against DeJounte, looking like the Harlem Globetrotters in that, remember that summer league game they were playing in? And all of a sudden, the dude, he's not somebody to be trifled with now. He looks pretty good down there in Orlando, man. Let's go to Ice. He's in the A. Hey, man, you're on Dukes and Bell. What you got?
Hey, man, fellas.
Hey, man.
If you can indulge me, because I got a couple of points to make here.
Do it.
First and foremost, we are obviously tanking. We're not interested in making the playoffs, so it's an ownership issue. And the reason why I say that is because trading DeJounte Murray at the timing that they did tells me and stuff that they're not really interested. It's about our salary cap and the monies. We're not gonna blow that up. But if they were me, two things. Number one, I would have drafted Sarr. And I would have told the Wizards, come get him and give me your 26th pick, and I'll take Risa. You draft for me.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, if you're going to trade DeJounte Murray before the season starts, you should have started the season, waited till the trade deadline, and then you would have gotten a bag full of goodies and stuff more than what we got. We have to acknowledge they're trying to strip our team down. They're not interested in making the playoffs. They're interested in any draft capital. And when you do that, that means that we're in purgatory for, like, you know, the next 3 to 4 years, because your draft picks are going to leave you like the Clippers suffered for all those years. Let me hear your take on all that.
Carl, you go first, man. I know we did say that the Sarr thing was going to be a little weird if DC just said fine, draft him, we'll go get somebody else and maybe not want to play ball with you. But I was of the opinion we should have just taken Sarr. Although there was no real consensus certainly around the league. There was a consensus though over at the Emory Training Center. The Hawks like Chris Hache.
Yeah, I hope we're not crying about this as Hawks fans 2 years from now, and Sarr is balling out and looks like a perennial All Star, and our guy might be struggling. I hope it's the other way around. Only time will tell. Let me say this about wanting to win and the value of trading DeJounte. Guys, they tried to move him at the end of the season last year, okay? They actually had a deal with the Pelicans. Pelicans backed out, right? It was like, okay, let's do it. They didn't want to do it, so they stayed the course. The season played out the way it did. You get to the offseason, and the only reason you have to do it now, and I hate to say this, is because of this apron stuff. I almost dropped the S word. That's why they have to do this. They're trying. Yes, it is about salary. And it's not, I've said this, Mike, it's not necessarily their fault that they're having to go by this new CBA. Everybody's having to deal with it. But it is complicated from the standpoint of where they want to be from a cap standpoint, and then the projections of where they will be with adding salary, increased salaries that they currently have on the team with, guys getting bumps. All of this stuff plays into where they are. And yes, I agree with you. If you could have waited maybe until the season rolled around, but they were going to hold DeJounte on the roster with another $25 million contract and trying to add to it. So think about the deal, guys. What you got back? You got two first-round picks. Go look at Nance's salary and go look at Daniel's salary. That's what this is about.
We're looking, by the way, at the trade deadline, and I know you and I talked about this. They could not pull something off. So it's hard to conceive waiting all the way until next February, March, Carl, and getting better.
Yep.
I understand where he's coming from with that, but it just seems like there was more time to put something together, which maybe gave you a better package as opposed to somebody having you over a barrel knowing you want to move DeJounte next year.
I agree.
That would be the logic of doing it now.
Everybody would have known, and to your point, right, Mike, they would have been like, okay, we'll wait it out, because we know you're trying to move him.
Right.
Yeah.
Talking about the Hawks, what do you think so far? Where you at, man? Let's go to Owen. Big O. Hey, man, you're in the A, and you're on 92.9. What you got?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing? I'm a season ticket holder, and I'm to the point where now I kind of feel like I want my money back, man. I feel like I've been lied to, and I'm talking to wrestlers, and I'm talking to the front office. And I hope they could hear me, because I'm a concerned fan.
Oh, they can hear you.
Don't tell us that you are willing to go all out and get us a winner in here, and you're not. Don't tell the fans that. Don't lie to us. We're spending our money and our time, and I'm getting tired of seeing us being in purgatory all the time. And it used to be fun going out to the State Farm Arena now, but it's not fun anymore going in there watching us lose every night. It's just not fun. And I'm not going to continue to spend my money like that when I'm not getting at least a decent return on my investment. You're lying to me. And I don't like to be lied to when I'm spending my money.
Here, man. Call the day so far, man. Big O. No, man, look, I mean, this is where we're at, Carl. We have the full spectrum. We've seen it on Twitter. A lot of guys have the patience of Job. I don't. We've gone backwards since 2021. Owen's not. There's no lie told there by what he's saying. But, I mean, do you feel the organization is committed to winning as you expect him to be? No, I think the answer would be no for 99% of our audience.
Here's the problem. Oh, and thank you for calling, man. You can lose, but at least entertain me. And the way that we were losing and the way it seemed like, the two most entertaining games last year, one was that comeback from behind win against the Celtics, right? It was incredible. But they were wins that were unexpected and kind of like the crowd was out of it. Like they were like, we're playing bad. We're down 15 or whatever. And we make an incredible comeback. Those are like two of the best wins of the season. But entertain me. And part of his deal is like, I'm willing to spend my money, but like the team is, this is what I was talking about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I was telling our last on Twitter. The splash of, hey, are we interesting? Are we entertaining?
Right.
Winning, it would be great. I hope we put a winner together. But just from a fan's perspective, that's the other part of this. And we talk about this, Mike. Move the needle. We talk about Atlanta United or the Atlanta Falcons. We've said this, going down to Mercedes-Benz the last few years. This is why I need Kirk Cousins and company and Bijan. I need y'all to score 35 a game. Man, entertain me.
Right on. But again, I like Garrison Matthews, but if you're showing up to see Garrison Matthews, God bless. A lot of folks would like to see a little bit more. Now, I know we can score, and hopefully he's going to continue to score some threes, but I need a little bit more in the process than that. And just basically saying no to Sadiq Bey. You traded, like, what, 4 second-round picks for Sadiq Bey? You're going to let him walk? I mean, it's just – I don't understand. What's the end game here? I mean, what is the end game? Other than taking it down to the studs with Trey to keep you guys from, you know, not showing up at State Farm. Got time for one more real quick? Will I am in the ATL. Hey, man, you're on Dukes and Bell.
Hey, man. Listen, fellas. I mean, I know I just don't have no faith in Landry Fields at a match, man. I think he was a below average NBA player. I don't think he knows anything. I don't think he has a good grasp of just being a manager of the team. You know, I'm in mourning right now. It is because of the state of the Hawks, but I'm also in mourning too because here in Atlanta, you know, I have a secondary team. It's Golden State. And, you know, the light-skinned coalition of Klay Thompson and Steph Curry. I'm here crying. I'm playing boys to me in the role right now.
Yeah, it's over, bro.
Yeah,
it's over.
And a lot of guys felt when I brought this name up last week that he's washed. But he'd still be the second highest scorer here. He brings defense. And he'd still be better than 99% of what we've rolled out next to Trae Young, other than the 2 years DeJounte was here, although they didn't work together. So, appreciate it. Sounds like we've broken Owen and Will's spirit, at least the organization has, Carl. Hey, man, we got hour number two on the way. We'll get an NFL blitz for you. And I know this. We talked about how confusing the cap can be. We're going to talk to a guy who can break it down for us. Keith Smith from Spotrac, talk NBA. Dukes and Bell, man. Carl's back from vacay. Hope everybody's got a great plan for the 4th of July. I did notice less cars in the parking garage today, Carl, so I think some folks have already hit the road or skedaddled down to Destin or up to the lake.
Yeah.
This hour of the show, guys, brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. Speaking of the lake, we're going to be up at the lake next week. We got a really cool show planned involving our summer games. More details. You may have heard the promos on that and a chance to get the audience involved, Carl. Should be a blast. It's going to be happening during our show.
Yeah, I am curious to see what the teams look like and how this is all going to shake out. We're going to be telling you a lot more about it. But, yeah, man, it's going to be pretty cool. Right. And there's no better time to be at the lake than right now. It's super hot outside, bro.
Indeed. Hey, man, we're talking a lot about the Hawks. The good news is, as a couple of listeners have pointed out, if you liked, Kenny Bird, right? Was that the guy? What were we calling him?
Gary Bird.
Sorry, I called him Kenny Bird. But yeah. If you like Gary Matthews, he was hitting threes when Trey went out. And that's something he'll get to do a lot more of because, well, Carl, the offense has to come from somewhere. But a guy who bounced around and got some traction with us last season will certainly get more time. But now I think a lot of folks are waiting to see. We already talked about, will Capella come off the roster? Will you trade him for an expiring contract? Or will you simply just drop him? And then what's going to happen there? I think they've got some decisions about Bruno Fernando. They extended the deadline on that decision, did the Hawks. But right now we're just trying to see, you know, I'd like to see us get bigger. We're one of the smaller teams in the NBA.
So before we grab these calls, Mike, I just want to – this breaking news about Klay Thompson joining the Mavericks. It's a 3-year, $50 million deal. And I just want to tell Hawks fans, this is what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Luka now has another championship-caliber, big-shot guy that he can rely on. The Mavs just got better. And when we talk about these teams in the Western Conference, right, and we talk about Denver and the T-Wolves, and by the way, it's going to be a dogfight now. This is going to be a dogfight. But in the West, you add Klay to what you already saw this year. Part of getting there this year was, listen, nobody expected they were fifth seed, Mike, but you're telling me now you got Klay Thompson posting up in the corner for threes with Luka being able to get to the basket like he can and Kyrie, that's a problem.
Well, that's why I brought him up when we were kicking around some ideas last week. I said, go get Hartenstein from the Knicks. Go get Klay Thompson. He'd be a splash uncle, as one of our audience said on Twitter, which I thought was great. But remember, now that DeJounte's off the roster, you realize Klay would be the second highest scorer on this team.
Yes.
Behind Trey. And I know that he's getting up there, but he still played a lot of games last year, and he still has some offensive punch, something we're needing. And the defense is self-explanatory that Carl just talked about. But that's not something we're doing. We're going to kind of be ballers on a budget.
Well, this is the thing. So the Mavs right now, again, Cuban and company, and their staff realizes we're close. We were right there. They're not joking around. They don't give a damn about the luxury tax, Mike. They don't care about apron one or apron two.
Right.
This is what we're doing. Now, the whole apron thing, you got to take in as much money as you take out. It's a sign and trade deal for him. Clay takes less money. But at the end of the day, this is $25 million for the next, you know, basically 2 years for him, with the player option for the second, for the third year. This is a great deal for him. So he's getting 25 for the next 2 years on a championship caliber team, and the Mavs are not afraid to go after it. We're just not there.
Nope. Mike Russo just hit us up on Twitter, says, from what I've seen, we've drafted four NBA starters the last 10 years. He said two of them, Collins and Herter, are gone. We got Trey and Jalen left. Well, that's it. It's not a, not, no lie is told right there. We got a bunch of guys that are on hold that want to talk about the Hawks. Again, it's a work in progress. We're not privy to what else is coming down the road just yet, but so far it's been, to a degree, a little bit underwhelming. Let's go with Big James. Big James, you're up first. Hey, man, you're on Dukes and Bell.
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Hey, man, look, I think as much as we do need to get big, like Mike said, I think we need some star power, some talent. And the Bulls is trying to get rid of LaVine. I think we should take a run at LaVine, throw some picks, DeAndre Hunter, Clint Capella, and get some star power to go with Trey, because we ain't gonna, where the Buckets going to come from, man? I really don't know.
That's a great question. And here's the other thing. DeMar DeRozan, right, is out there. He is a free agent, and he's another guy that's going to be on the move. That if you talk about, can he score? DeMar DeRozan can still score. Now he's 34. I hear you,
right.
but if you're just saying, hey, I need a guy to go get buckets, he can still do that. So it's a great question from Frank, man. When you talk about where the scoring is going to come from.
LaVine, I'm looking at him. He is just outside the top 50 as far as defensive ratings. That's why I was talking about Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. He actually was 36th best defensive player based on defending against the other team's best opponents. That's one of those names I was mentioning. Where he signed with Magic, did KCP. Let's go back, more phones, talking about our Hawks.
And by the way, Mike, they're on the come.
They're Magic better than us, man. Yes. They went and got Banchero, and there was no Banchero in this draft for us, so we're hoping that Risashe develops into something. But didn't Banchero get traction quick?
Yes. Quickly. Already know, very similar to Ant-Man, he's going to be a dude. He's a guy that you can build around. And the Magic, they're, that's a good move for them.
Right. Remember, from literally looking like the Washington Generals against DeJounte, looking like the Harlem Globetrotters in that, remember that's a summer league game they were playing in? And all of a sudden, the dude, he's not somebody to be trifled with now. He looks pretty good down there in Orlando, man. Let's go to Ice. He's in the A. Hey, man, you're on Dukes and Bell. What you got?
Hey, man, fellas.
Hey, man.
If you can indulge me, because I got a couple of points to make here.
Do it.
First and foremost, we are obviously tanking. We're not interested in making the playoffs, so it's an ownership issue. And the reason why I say that is because trading DeJounte Murray at the timing that they did tells me and stuff that they're not really interested. It's about our salary cap and the monies. We're not gonna blow that up. But if they were me, two things. Number one, I would have drafted Sarr. And I would have told the Wizards, come get him and give me your 26th pick, and I'll take Risa. You draft for me.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, if you're going to trade DeJounte Murray before the season start, you should have started the season, waited till the trade deadline, and then you would have gotten a bag full of goodies and stuff more than what we got. We have to acknowledge they're trying to strip our team down. They're not interested in making the playoffs. They're interested in any draft capital. And when you do that, that means that we're in purgatory for, like, you know, the next 3 to 4 years, because your draft picks are going to leave you like the Clippers suffered for all those years. Let me hear your take on all that.
Carl, you go first, man. I know we did say that, you know, the Sarr thing was going to be a little weird if, you know, DC just said, fine, draft him, we'll go get somebody else and maybe not want to play ball with you. But I was of the opinion we should have just taken Sarr, although there was no real consensus, certainly around the league. There was a consensus, though, over at the Emory Training Center, the Hawks like Risashe.
Yeah. I hope we're not crying about this as Hawks fans 2 years from now, and Sarr is balling out and looks like a perennial all-star, and our guy might be struggling. I hope it's the other way around. Only time will tell. Let me say this about wanting to win and the value of trading DeJounte. Guys, they tried to move him at the end of the season last year, okay? They actually had a deal with the Pelicans. Pelicans backed out, right? It was like, okay, let's do it. They didn't want to do it, so they stayed the course. The season played out the way it did. You get to the offseason, and the only reason you have to do it now, and I hate to say this, is because of this apron stuff.
Right.
I almost dropped the S word. That's why they have to do this. They're trying. Yes, it is about salary. And it's not, I've said this, Mike, it's not necessarily their fault that they're having to go by this new CBA. Everybody's having to deal with it. But it is complicated from the standpoint of where they want to be from a cap standpoint, and then the projections of where they will be with adding salary, increased salaries that they currently have on the team with, you know, guys getting bumps. All of this stuff plays into where they are. And yes, I agree with you. If you could have waited maybe until the season rolled around, but they were going to hold DeJounte on the roster with another $25 million contract and trying to add to it. So think about the deal, guys. What you got back? You got two first round picks. Go look at Nance's salary and go look at Daniel's salary. That's what this is about.
We're looking, by the way, at the trade deadline, and I know you and I talked about this. They could not pull something off. So it's hard to conceive waiting all the way until next, you know, February, March, Carl, and getting better.
Yep.
I understand where he's coming from with that, but it just seems like there was more time to put something together, which maybe gave you a better package as opposed to somebody having you over a barrel knowing you want to move DeJounte next year.
I agree.
That would be the logic of doing it now.
Everybody would have known, and to your point, right, Mike, they would have been like, okay, we'll wait it out, because we know you're trying to move him.
Right.
Yeah.
Talking about the Hawks, what do you think so far? Where are you at, man? Let's go to Owen. Big O. Hey, man, you're in the A, and you're on 92.9. What you got?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing? I'm a season ticket holder. And I'm to the point where now I kind of feel like I want my money back, man. I feel like I've been lied to, and I'm talking to wrestlers, and I'm talking to the front office. And I hope they can hear me, because I'm a concerned fan.
Oh, they can hear you.
Don't tell us that you are willing to go all out and get us a winner in here, and you're not. Don't tell the fans that. Don't lie to us. We're spending our money and our time, and I'm getting tired of seeing us being in purgatory all the time. And it used to be fun going down to the State Farm Arena there, but it's not fun anymore going in there watching us lose every night. It's just not fun. And I'm not going to continue to spend my money like that when I'm not getting at least a decent return on my investment. You're lying to me. And I don't like to be lied to when I'm spending my money.
Here, man. Call the day so far, man. Big O. No, man, look, I mean, this is where we're at, Carl. We have the full spectrum. We've seen it on Twitter. A lot of guys have the patience of Job. I don't. We've gone backwards since 2021. Owen's not. There's no lie told there by what he's saying. But, I mean, do you feel the organization is committed to winning as you expect him to be? No, I think the answer would be no for 99% of our audience.
Here's the problem. Oh, and thank you for calling, man. You can lose, but at least entertain me. And the way that we were losing and the way it seemed like, you know, the two most entertaining games last year, one was that comeback from behind win against the Celtics, right? It was incredible. But they were wins that were unexpected and kind of like the crowd was out of it. Like they were like, you know, we're playing bad. We're down 15 or whatever. And we make an incredible comeback. Those are like two of the best wins of the season. But entertain me. And part of his deal is like, I'm willing to spend my money, but like the team is, this is what I was talking about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I was telling our last on Twitter. The splash of, hey, are we interesting? Are we entertaining?
Right.
Winning, it would be great. I hope we put a winner together. But just from a fan's perspective, that's the other part of this. And we talk about this, Mike. Move the needle. We talk about Atlanta United or the Atlanta Falcons. We've said this. Going down to Mercedes-Benz the last few years, this is why I need Kirk Cousins and company and Bijan. I need y'all to score 35 a game. Man, entertain me.
Right on. But again, I like Garrison Matthews, but if you're showing up to see Garrison Matthews, God bless. A lot of folks would like to see a little bit more. Now, I know he can score, and hopefully he's going to continue to score some threes, but I need a little bit more in the process than that. And just basically saying no to Sadiq Bey. You traded, like, what, 4 second-round picks for Sadiq Bey? You're going to let him walk? I mean, it's just, I don't understand what's the end game here. I mean, what is the end game other than taking it down to the studs with Trey to keep you guys from, you know, not showing up at State Farm? Got time for one more real quick? Will I am in the ATL. Hey, man, you're on Dukes and Bell.
Hey, man. Listen, fellas. I mean, I just don't have no faith in Landry Fields at a match, man. I think he was a below average NBA player. I don't think he knows anything. I don't think he has a good grasp of just being a manager of a team. You know, I'm in mourning right now. It is because of the state of the Hawks, but I'm also in mourning too, because here in Atlanta, you know, I have a secondary team, and it's Golden State.
you know, the light-skinned coalition of Clay Thompson and Steph Curry. I'm here crying. I'm playing boys to men in the road right now.
Yeah, it's over, bro.
Yeah,
it's
man.
Over.
And a lot of guys felt when I brought this name up last week that he's washed. But he's still be the second highest scorer here. He brings defense. And he'd still be better than 99% of what we've rolled out next to Trae Young, other than the 2 years DeJounte was here, although they didn't work together. So appreciate it. Sounds like we've broken Owen and Will's spirit, at least the organization has, Carl. Hey, man, we got hour number two on the way. We'll get an NFL blitz for you. And I know this. We talked about how confusing the cap can be. We're going to talk to a guy who can break it down for us. Keith Smith from Spotrac. Talk NBA, what some of the moves are made today. It's all on the way. Dukes and Bell, man. No flipping.
You're lying to me. And I don't like to be lied to when I'm spending my money.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.